Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org. We're going to be in Daniel chapter 9, and I would love for you to have this passage open as we read and as we study it together. We are looking at Daniel, who is this teenager when he first is brought into exile, removed from his homeland, and is brought into Babylon after the fall of Judah and the fall and the destruction of Jerusalem. And Daniel will spend the rest of his life in this foreign country. And so we see him exemplify throughout the rest of his life what it means to be faithful to God, faithful to God's word, faithful to God's will in a foreign land. And we want to ask that same question, a question that really directs our desire. How do we as the church, how do we as followers of Jesus, how can we be faithful to God in this foreign land? For we recognize that as Christians, first and foremost, this world, as great as it is not our permanent home. This is not our end-all address. But even more than that, we recognize that the context and the culture that we live in today is less and less and less Christ-like. And so how do we, as followers of Jesus, how are we faithful in a foreign land? And so we're looking at Daniel for his example, and we're kind of breaking that down into the character of Daniel, the courage of Daniel, and the concern of Daniel. We've seen over the last couple of weeks, we looked in chapter 1 where we saw Daniel has this ability to navigate both conviction and compassion, that he would not compromise the resolve that he had to the things that God had expressed were his will. And at the same time, he had the ability to navigate this sort of messiness and gray and those non-essentials. And then last week, we saw that Daniel was facing a nearly impossible situation, and he responded with wisdom and tact. He didn't panic. He didn't lash out. But he prayed to God, and he praised God, and he proclaimed God. And so now today, we're going to look at this, we'll call it the third installment of this idea of this character of Daniel. And so before we jump in, would you please pray with me? God, it's a good again to be able to come and pause and take some time in our corporate worship together to look at your word, to study it, to be, as we'll say today, students of Scripture. And so, God, we know that these are important and holy moments. We're grateful for them. And so, God, we want to approach this moment well, and in a spirit of humility, a spirit of openness, a spirit of yearning for you to speak to us and that we would listen to you. And so, Holy Spirit, we ask that by your strength, your power, at work in us in this moment, that you would allow us to read and think and ponder and reflect and have impressed upon us that which each and every one of us would need this day. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. So the bulk of this passage that we're about to read is a prayer. And I would argue that it is one of those top 10, if not top 5 prayers in all of Scripture. Do me a favor, do not miss this prayer, okay? And for some of us, it might sound a little familiar, because just about 2 years ago, we did a deep dive into this prayer as a part of a larger sermon series where we were looking at the great prayers of Scripture. And I don't know what you know about this or not, but to be honest with you, sometimes when you have to preach on something very similar or the exact same passage that is so identifiable, it can be a little more difficult. Hello Christmas and hello Easter. Every year. And so I caught myself, as I was beginning to study for this passage, I caught myself starting to highlight and write down some of the same themes and some of the same key points and some of the same key verses that we looked at a little bit ago. You know what the great thing about Scripture is? Is that we can look at the same words, the same passages over and over and over again, and something new can be gleaned from them. Sometimes when we look at the same passage over again, we're in a different life context. Things have changed around us, or the things that we're focused on, or the things that are important to us. Or sometimes when we look at that same scripture passage, we have different lenses through which we're looking at the passage. And that's sort of the case for us today. We're looking at the same passage we studied just about 2 years ago, but then we were looking at the prayer. What is this prayer? And today we're coming at it with the lens of, what do we learn about this witness of Daniel? And specifically about the character of Daniel. And there's so many great things that are going to come at us here. One of those wonderful aspects of Daniel that leap off the page to us that we're going to spend some time, this testimony that he gives to us today. And so there's a lot going on here. So let's jump right in. I'm going to invite you to follow along, please, as I read aloud these words from the book that we love. Daniel chapter 9, starting in verse 1. In the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, a Mede by descent, who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting and in sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, O Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with all who love him and obey his commands, we have sinned and have done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, our fathers, and to all the people of the land. Lord, you are righteous, but this day we are covered with shame. The men of Judah, the people of Jerusalem, and all Israel, both near and far, and all the countries where you have scattered us because of our unfaithfulness to you. O Lord, we and our kings, our princes and our fathers are covered with shame because we have sinned against you. The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the Lord our God or kept the laws he gave us through his servants the prophets. All Israel has transgressed your law and turned away, refusing to obey you. Therefore, the curses and sworn judgments written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against you. You have fulfilled the words spoken against us and against our rulers by bringing upon us great disaster. Under the whole heaven, nothing has ever been done like what has been done to Jerusalem. Just as it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us. Yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from our sins and giving attention to your truth. The Lord did not hesitate to bring the disaster upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in everything he does, yet we have not obeyed him. Now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and who made for yourself a name that endures to this day, we have sinned, we have done wrong. O Lord, in keeping with all your righteous acts, turn away your anger and your wrath from Jerusalem, your city, your holy hill. Our sins and iniquities of our fathers have made Jerusalem and your people an object of scorn to all those around us. Now, O God, hear the prayers and petition of your servant. For your sake, O Lord, look with favor on your desolate sanctuary. Give ear, O God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. O Lord, listen. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hear and act. For your sake, O my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name. Amen. I told you, right? Do not miss this prayer. But also, don't miss what led to this prayer. Verse 2. I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures. Daniel is a student of the scriptures. This is part of his regular practice. He is immersed in the Word of God, reading and studying and poring over the Word of God, even as we'll see in just a couple moments, in some of the most remote verses and passages deep within inside those old scrolls. Daniel's living in this foreign land where the winds of idolatry blow, where the gusts of false teaching whip around, where there's these swirls of scheming religious apostasy gusts. He's living under this cloud, almost like the storm from that is coming through and constantly over him, casting a dark shadow upon anyone who is going to be pursuing the truth of the one true holy God. This is where Daniel resides, and yet he has this devotion to studying the Word of God. It's an anchor for him to remain connected to his God and to his faith. I love that one of our core values here at Westview articulates the same. That we have one of our core values is that we are rooted in Scripture. Declaring that the Word of God is our anchor. The Word of God is our foundation. The Word of God is that which we draw upon for any and every aspect of our life and shared ministry with each other. That rooted in Scripture is the platform from which we launch everything we do here at Westview. That the Word of God is the catalyst that crafts messages. And the Word of God is what drives Discovery Hour curriculum. And the Word of God is what sets the table for small group discussions. And the Word of God is what guides our worship, as we heard already this morning. That the Word of God is what begins our board meetings and our team meetings. The Word of God is what we are rooted in here at Westview. And we recognize, you know, in these times right now in which we live, that in which so many allow culture to shape what the Bible says, or even more dangerously, and in which we allow ourselves to decide that this is what the Bible says because this is what we want to believe, and this is what fits our agenda, or this is what makes us more comfortable. That in the midst of that kind of a context, that we here at Westview, we root ourselves, that we believe that the Bible expresses the revealed will of God, that it is our primary and it is our first source of knowing and understanding God, and it is authoritative to our life and to our faith. And so for us, in this foreign land in which we live, we believe that Scripture is what shapes how we assess culture. And Scripture speaks to what we believe. And Scripture is what sets the agenda, doesn't bend to it. And Scripture, it is comforting, but it does not always make us over so comfortable. And it is Scripture that shapes, and Scripture that molds, and Scripture that guides us. And it's Scripture that reveals God to us. And I trust, Westview, that rooted in Scripture will always be a core value of this congregation. Daniel is a student of Scripture. And in verse 2, it tells us that he understood from the Scriptures. As we seek to be faithful in a foreign land, there comes in a question that leaps out at us. How is our engagement with Scripture? If we were going to do just a quick little personal inventory, and what sort of grade would we give ourselves of our engagement of Scripture over the last week or the last month or the last year? perhaps just as important, if not more important, regardless of wherever we're starting at, what grade we have now, maybe a more important question is this: what am I going to do? How will I be intentional in order to up that Word of God GPA in the week ahead, or in the month ahead, or the year ahead? I'll tell you that one of the best things I ever did was just a couple years ago. There was, from this stage, from this pulpit, a sermon preached about Scripture from a tall, dark, handsome young man. Probably had a little less salt and pepper on his chin. Certainly a few pounds lighter back then. But he was given a message about the Word of God, and he offered a pretty similar challenge to us. What intentional steps would we take in our engagement with the Word of God? And that week, I began with a friend an accountability partnership around the Word of God, where every day we read and or study a part of Scripture as we work our way through a book of the Bible. And then at the end of that time of study, we simply just shoot a small, short text message to one another about something that we took away or that we gleaned from that study of Scripture. And that has been incredibly helpful for me over the last 3 years. Especially in a season like right now when school has started and all the activities and all the sports and all the things where we are busy, and it's so easy to slough some of those things off or say, I'll do it later, and then you don't get to it. And so, you know, it's so good to have that accountability, because if I miss a day or I miss 2 days, I get the text, hey, how you doing? You hanging in there? What's going on? And I can do the same for him. It's been an incredible gift for me in my engagement with Scripture. How is God inviting us to further root ourselves in the Word of God? Daniel is a student of Scripture. And Daniel understood what he understands from Scripture has a profound impact. We see that played out through the rest of this entire passage, right? The understanding he has from Scripture is the impetus for this prayer. And in fact, it contains so much of what is in that prayer that is the bulk of this passage. And so is anybody curious this morning, what did Daniel read? What did he understand? Well, he names, early on in this passage, he names the prophet Jeremiah, which, did you know the book of Jeremiah is the largest book by word count in the entire Bible? I know, what's the biggest book? Everybody says, oh, the book of Psalms, right? 150 chapters. Not by word count. Jeremiah has the most words. It is the largest book in Scripture. And so Daniel, we can speak with confidence that he's a student of Scripture, because the passage that he's referring to here at the beginning of Daniel 9 is a passage that is tucked away at 38% of the way through the largest book of the entire Bible. It's Jeremiah 25. Jeremiah 25. I'm not so sure I've seen too many Jeremiah 25 verses on bumper stickers or stickers that go on our water bottles. Because Jeremiah 25 is a passage in which Jeremiah is talking about this warning that he's giving to the people, a warning that he has been giving to the people for 23 years, saying, hey, you're not doing what God has asked you to do, and there could be some trouble around this. And he's saying, I'm not the only one that has been telling you about this, but there's been others who have been coming and have been trying to tell you about this as well. And in Jeremiah 25, it talks about God declares what he will do if the people don't turn their ways. And we know this is what he did. Nebuchadnezzar will come and overrun Judah and destroy Jerusalem. And the fact that Daniel is sitting here in exile, this happened. But Jeremiah 25 also includes a promise, where Judah, as Daniel talks about, is a place of ruin and shame and scorn. It talks about how this will last for Judah 70 years. And after 70 years, God will punish Babylon and will enslave them. And that passage in Jeremiah 25 leads then into a passage of Jeremiah 29. right before a very familiar, popular Bible verse. This is one I've seen on bumper stickers, and this is one I've seen on water bottles, Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord." Well, right before that is Jeremiah 29:10, which says this: "When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place." Daniel understands from Scripture this promise, which is great because here in Daniel 9, it has been 64 years since the exile began. That's getting real close to year 70. But here's the thing, Daniel knows more than just this passage. He knows more than just Jeremiah 25. He knows more than just Jeremiah 29. He knows something that is written as well in the law of Moses. We see this in verse 11 of our passage today. We see him refer to the law of Moses in verse 13 of our passage today. Daniel knows more. When he's talking about these judgments, he's talking about these curses that are going to come about because of sin. Now, it's going to get a little tedious here a little bit. I know this is going to get a little teachy, a little bit more than we typically like. But friends, I need us to understand all of what we're going to talk about here when it gets a little technical for a moment. Because if we grasp this, if we get our minds around this, we then will understand everything that's happening here in Daniel 9 and why this passage is so powerful and what this means for the character of Daniel. So hang in here with me for a moment, okay? Daniel, in chapter 9, verse 11, he's referring back, he's talking about the law of Moses, and he's referring to a passage in Deuteronomy 28, which is another passage tucked away partway through another large Old Testament book. Daniel knows the scriptures. And in Deuteronomy 28, Moses is delivering his final farewell sermon to the Israelites. And in this sermon, he talks about this is what could happen in the future. He talks about what's going to come to the people. He says he talks about these blessings that could come about if the people obey God and if the people follow God's commands. He also talks about these curses that could come about that will happen if they don't obey the Lord and if they don't carefully follow his commands. And again, we're here in Daniel 9. Daniel's in exile. We know which way the people of God went, yes? And that sets the table for yet another critical passage that Daniel knows and that inspires him to pray this prayer here in Daniel 9. And that fourth passage we're referring to now is Deuteronomy 30. And I'm going to give us the first three verses here on the screen because I want you to see this, and I'm going to show you something here in just a moment. So in Deuteronomy 30, verses 1 through 3 says this: "When all these blessings and curses I have set before you come upon you, and you take them to heart, wherever the Lord your God disperses you among the nations," talking about exile, right? "When you and your children return to the Lord your God and obey him with all your heart and with all your soul, according to everything I command you today, then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes and have compassion on you, and gather you again from all the nations where he scattered you." Now, some of you, maybe in your Bibles, if you look at Deuteronomy 30, you might have a footnote where it says restoring the fortunes. That can also be translated as "will bring you back from captivity." So what I need us, Westview, is I need us to put all of this now together, because Daniel puts this all together. There are blessings for following God's will. There are curses if not. God's people did not. They are in exile. But the promise is that after 70 years, God will return his people when the people return to the Lord. When you and your children return to the Lord your God and obey him. Return to the Lord. It's another way of saying the word repent. Repent means to turn away from sin and to turn toward God. And Daniel understands from Scripture, he puts all of this together, which first in the first part of our faith lesson, this is such an amazing testimony, profound testimony of Daniel's character, that he has this deep investment in the Word of God. He knows God's Word. He is a student of Scripture. But Daniel also, when he puts this all together, he realizes this has not yet happened yet. The people have not repented. He refers to that here in Daniel 9, verse 13. They have not yet repented. They have not turned back to God. They have not confessed their sins to God. They have not done this. And so I want you to notice in Daniel 9, verse 3, did you see the intensity with which Daniel acts? Right? It's like, what else can we add here, Daniel? It's almost a little over the top, but it says that Daniel pleads to God, and he pleads to God in prayer, in petition, in fasting, in sackcloth, in ashes. There's an intensity here what Daniel's doing, but look at the first part of verse 3. The first thing he does is he turned to the Lord God. This action of turning to God, returning to him, is the key here. This is not happening anywhere else amongst the people. The people have been exiled for 64 years. And one of the things we said in our last sermon series in Haggai is that the people kind of got a little fat and lazy in exile. It wasn't so bad after a while. But his friends, year 70 is coming. Daniel realizes this. And Daniel is a student of Scripture, and he comes to understand what is needed, and that is a turning back to God, this repenting of sin. And so what does Daniel do? He takes action. He prays. It's a remarkable testimony to his character because, friends, sometimes we do not find the call of God. But sometimes the call of God finds us. I don't think Daniel was looking for this necessarily. But when he found it, he was faithful with what had been placed before him. And that's a powerful second piece of a faith lesson here this morning that we gleaned from Daniel. He took action. And so the question then for us is, what's been revealed to us? What's been placed before us? What responsibility has found its way through the sovereign God's leading onto our lap and into our hands? Even, probably especially, not something we were anticipating or looking for or maybe even would desire. What's been placed in our hands, right? Maybe it's something at work, right? Where I've got a job description and this thing was not on my job description and yet it ends up on our desk. Or maybe it's our role on the team. This is not what I anticipated doing and how I was going to contribute, but this is what is asked of me. What will I do? Or maybe we've got a roadmap that is set in stone, we think, of how life is going to look. And then there's a speed bump or a roadblock, and all of a sudden we find ourselves having to either stay put for a little longer or to detour or something else altogether. What do we do with that? What has God brought to us, revealed to us, given to us, and what will we do with it? Will we be faithful when the call of God finds us? You see, Daniel does take action. He's a student of Scripture. He takes action when it's given to him. He prays. And what a great prayer it is. We haven't really said much about this prayer at this point yet. We did talk about it fairly recently. If you want that link, I'll try to find it for you if you're curious for a fuller dive into that prayer. But we're going to mention two things that just have to be spoken about this prayer and also speak to the character of Daniel this morning. One of the things that's clear, even it says it here in verse 4, that this is a prayer of confession. It's a prayer of repentance. I mean, how many times did we hear Daniel talking about naming the sin that has been committed before God? And yet what stands out is the communal nature of this confession. It's not necessarily Daniel's sin. I mean, Daniel is a human being just like any of us. But it wasn't Daniel's sin that led him into exile. I mean, this is of his ancestors, 100, 200, 300, many years before. And yet if we count, and you can count if you want, because I'm sure I didn't count quite accurately, but at least 14 times, specifically it says, and then more if you imply it, he uses the word we. And at least 7 times, and again more if you infer it, he uses the word our. We have sinned. We have been wicked. We have not sought the favor of the Lord. We have not obeyed. Our unfaithfulness, our sins and iniquities. And I think that speaks to Daniel's character. He recognizes that his identity as a child of God is not a lone range, one-man show. He is part of a covenant community of faith. He's part of this larger body of believers with whom God has established a relationship. And whether it was his own specific sin or not, or the sin of an ancestor 100 years before, it has an impact on the whole. And within this uber-individualistic Western world that we live in today, this idea of a communal nature, this communal relationship, is not primary or naturally how we think about ourselves. And yet, specifically as Christians, we are a part of a covenant community of faith. We are united together in Christ. This is so much bigger than any of us as individuals. And I say this, not just Westview Church, but a part of the church, the body of Christ. I can guarantee you it is so much bigger than me. And it's also bigger than you. We're a part of this larger family. And like a family, we represent one another. I mean, it's no different if one of us, I'm just kind of looking around, oh, you have Grandview on, Scott, right? I was looking for a high school, but we'll go with a college, right? He's got a Grandview shirt on. Does it say alumni on there? Okay. So if Scott is wearing this Grandview shirt, and Scott goes to Hy-Vee or goes and gets some ice cream at Culver's or Chick-fil-A. I know you love Chick-fil-A, right? And Scott's dinking around and causing a ruckus and just being obnoxious, and he's got a Grandview shirt on. You know what I'm going to think about? Not just Scott, but about Grandview and all the alumni that go to Grandview, right? No difference than that. It impacts that. Or you know, if we are wearing some of our, we call it church merch, right? You got a Westview shirt or a Westview polo or a Westview hat, and how I'm behaving in the neighborhood or in the community, and I've got Westview on, that doesn't just reflect on me, but it reflects on all of us. Or if I or Heather or one of our kids has our last name on a shirt, right? Van Leeuwen across the shoulders, and we are dinking around. It represents not just me, not just her, but our whole family. Daniel gets that. And it's something that we want to embrace as well, that as Christians, as the church, we are representing each other. And so, friends, when we are, as we talked a little bit last week, spouting off on social media, or we're having these conversations and yapping away and what we're saying, we're representing each other, not just Westview, but we're representing the church, the body of Christ. And we're doing so in the good and in the not so good. And Daniel's prayer of repentance is an incredible prayer in and of itself, but it helps remind us that we are a part of a covenant community. We're a part of what's called the church, and we represent one another, let alone we represent Christ. The other key thing in this prayer is that we see Daniel has an incredible trust in God. I mean, I love this prayer for many, many reasons, but one of them is all the great things it says about who God is. And you can just read through this prayer and be blessed by that, right? God is great. God is awesome. God is righteous. God has a mighty hand and so much more. But at the heart of what Daniel prays and why Daniel can pray is because of God's mercy. There's a great Hebrew word. It's the word chesed. We've talked about it before. Chesed, right? Let me just explain what chesed is one more time. Chesed is the deep, enduring, steadfast, active, above and beyond covenantal love of God. That's what chesed means. That's great, isn't it? And chesed is the driving force of the covenant love that God shows his people. That shows up in verse 4. Chesed is why God can be a forgiving God. Verse 9. Hesed is why Daniel can confess and can repent and turn back to God, not because of any of the righteous things he has done or the righteous things anybody else has done, but because of God's great mercy. That's Hesed, verse 18. It's this Hesed mercy that though Daniel and the people are deserving of the punishment they receive, just as you and I are deserving of the punishment we receive because of our sin, God does not treat them and God does not treat us as we deserve. That's mercy. In this case, God will bring them back. God will restore. That's mercy. And in this prayer, Daniel affirms his trust in the mercy of God. And friends, so can we. And that's what we're going to do as we close out this time and continue in our worship here this morning. We want to trust in the mercy of God. Because one of the things that we understand so clearly from Scripture, and though it does not make us comfortable, it is still undeniable, is the fact that we mentioned earlier is that you and I, each and every one of us, sin. Each and every one of us. Scripture says there is no one that is good, not even one. We all sin and stand in need of the mercy of God. And you and I are all too well aware of the fact of the way that sin has brought about trauma in this world. Daniel knows this. He lives this. He's in exile. He recognizes this. And what he does is he puts all the pieces together as a student of Scripture, and he takes action, and he prays on behalf of himself. He prays on behalf of his people. He confesses and he repents, and he turns back to God, asking, God, would you be merciful, and would you restore? And Westview, we're going to have an opportunity to do the same today, to spend some time together as a covenant community of faith. Spend some time together in prayer, understanding from Scripture and taking action, praying together for one another, for each other, for our families, for our communities, for our churches, our nation, and our world, confessing and repenting and trusting in the forgiving and restorative mercy of our great and awesome God.
Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied Scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.